Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Joining me, as they do on most Fridays, are Vicki Barnett, a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator, and Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow with Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican majority leader in the state Senate. So we got a few things to talk about this week. Let's get right to it. First, President Trump's Advisory Commission on Voter Integrity has asked states for all kinds of voter information, including age, party affiliation, partial social security numbers, and so on. So most states have refused to give up some of that information. In Michigan, Secretary of State Ruth Johnson makes the call. Vicki, what's been her response?
Well, her response was to not give up the social security numbers and the date of birth. She will include the year. I still have a problem with the whole Voter Election Integrity Commission. I don't know what they're going to do with that data. I don't know what program they're going to run it through to try to prove that there's fraud or not prove that there's fraud. So I'm quite concerned with what's going to happen to the data. I find the request from the commission a true invasion of every voting American's privacy rights, and it disturbs me greatly that they had the audacity to actually ask secretaries of state to turn over that kind of detailed information.
Ken, despite President Trump's claims of massive voter fraud, we're told there's almost no evidence to support those claims. So what do you think the reason we're having this advisory commission is?
Well, I think President Trump is trying to pursue claims and accusations he made during the campaign. Now, in terms of the requests made to Michigan, you know, Michigan voter lists are public under state law today. And the Secretary of State, Ruth Johnson, she provides those lists to anybody who requests them. And I think she ought to comply in the same sense. If it's public information and she provides it to other people and entities that request those lists, I think she ought to be able to comply with any request from the Presidential Advisory Commission.
And to be clear, that's not what she's doing. She's only giving the public information that's available to anyone who wants to pay, what is it, $23 for that information or something like that.
Well, and I think that's legitimate, and she ought to comply with that, but no further.
Let's go to the next topic. Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly started a petition drive to put the idea of a part-time legislature up for a vote of the people. Then he stopped the effort, scrapped thousands of signatures, as Jonathan Oisting with the Detroit News reported. Now he's restarting the effort, but leaving some of his supporters a little ticked off. Vicki, what's Kelly doing here?
I have no idea what he's doing. First of all, to go to a part-time legislature and further eviscerate the powers of the Michigan State Legislature by not even talking about term limits, leaving truly a part-time green legislature that doesn't understand the complexities of what goes on a day-to-day basis is a real problem. And I think that's why so many groups, including the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, have jumped down Lieutenant Governor Kelly's throat on this whole petition drive. He started it. He stopped it. It would really put in jeopardy some of the provisions that allow the legislature to override a veto should they no longer be in session when the governor vetoes a bill. So it's highly problematic. And I also want to point out to your listeners, I served in the legislature and so did Ken. And we are not just lawmakers. A true representative of the people works very, very long hours, very hard, and lawmaking is only part of their job, assisting constituents, listening to your business community and other groups that you represent is all a key part of the job that we do. And that doesn't end after 90 days, and it doesn't end Monday through Friday. It keeps going on. And it's a job that those of us take seriously really love to serve, and we don't just pass laws.
Ken, I want you to explain what was the reasoning that Lieutenant Governor Kelly pulled the petition and restarted. But at the same time, I also want to talk about the fact that he angered a lot of conservatives. He made a blunder here, apparently. Some of these people are supposed to be his base. Could this have not only hurt his chances for his petition, but his yet-to-be-announced run for governor?
Well, the first attempt that he made was bungled in the sense that the language he wanted to put in the Constitution was pretty flawed, and he realized it. And so that's why he's starting over with some new language to ensure that it can survive any constitutional challenge. But the fact of the matter is the first attempt was bungled. He's doing this clearly, I think, to appeal to the most conservative Republicans who consistently vote in Republican primaries. You know, whether or not it's going to be successful, they have to get 315,000 valid signatures from registered voters in the state remains to be seen. But you're absolutely right, and Vicky has already pointed that out, that there are a lot of conservative Republicans who simply don't like the idea of hamstringing the legislature in terms of their oversight role over the executive branch of government. So this isn't just going to be a free pass for him politically.
Final topic for the lightning round today, Attorney General Bill Schuette, another yet to be announced candidate for governor, issued an opinion which indicates it is not legal for Michigan school superintendent to withhold money from schools that persist in using Native American logos or mascots, which was under consideration. This affects a lot of schools. I mean, the Clinton Redskins, which, by the way, is Redskins also used by Belding, Camden, Marshall, Milford. There are also schools that use Braves, Warrior, a lot of schools that use the moniker Indians. Vicky, some surveys show that even the majority of Native Americans don't care about this, while a minority cares very much and finds it offensive. A lot of conservatives say this is just another anti-free speech, political correctness thing that only snowflakes worry about. What's your view?
I don't think that, you know, throwing snowflakes on this issue is really what we need to talk about. But I don't like offensive names, period. But I do agree with Attorney General Schuette that you can't just withhold public education dollars from a school system just because the name of their mascot offends you. However, the American Indian community and the State Gaming Commission have come together to try to help school districts overcome the cost of changing mascots with a $500,000 annual fund coming from a lot of the gaming proceeds, putting together a fund that would support those changes. It's called the Native American Heritage Fund. And I think that we should pursue encouraging those school districts that have names that some of us may find offensive or the school board finds offensive to change their names and to help cover the cost. Schools aren't rolling in money right now. And to change the name of a mascot and all of the signage and everything else that entails is very expensive.
Ken, what do you think of Attorney General Schuette's opinion and this whole issue?
Well, I think he's right in the sense that regardless of how you feel about the issue, without proper legal authority, the state can't just unilaterally withhold funds from school districts. So I think he's absolutely on solid ground. But to the issue of some people are going to find the use of Native American logos offensive, I think the vast majority of people probably do not. And the Republican position is probably going to be that this is primarily a local decision to be made by local school boards and local voters.
That's Ken Sikkema. He's senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican legislator. We also heard from Vicky Barnett. She's a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lester.